For this morning's responsive reading, we read in its entirety Proverbs chapter 7. So if you take your Bibles, please pick it up and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Many years ago, when it was proposed that sex education was going to be part of the public school curriculum, a lot of parents had a fit, and there was an outcry, especially from many circles within the Christian community. Even non-Christian parents felt that that was a subject that should be taught in the home and not in the school. Well, beloved, it's been decades since that proposal was made, and it's been implemented for a number of years, and we have seen the end result of that in many illegitimate pregnancies and births, and because of that, many abortions committed. I believe Proverbs chapter 7, in a Christian home especially, ought to be part of the sex ed education that parents will eventually give to their children when they're old enough and hopefully mature enough to handle the subject. First off, in verses 1 to 5, Solomon, I believe, lays down a framework. He lays a foundation before he introduces verse 6. Verse 6 all the way to verse 27 is one complete thought, and it's dealing with a woman who is dressed in the attire of a harlot. Okay? If you look at verse 12, now is she without, meaning she's outside the house, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So there she is. Now she's married, because look at verse 19. When she is making her proposition to the unsuspected bug in the spider web, what does she say? For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. So, while the good man, notice she calls him the good man while she's being a bad woman. The good man who's providing for her, putting a roof over her head, and apparently providing all of her dainties. Matter of fact, look at verse 16. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Beloved, those were costly items back in that first century time frame. Even if you want to buy cinnamon as a dietary supplement, you're going to put out a little bit of change, even today, at the local store. Okay? So this woman has been amply provided by whom? The good man. And what is the good man doing right now, based on 19 and 20? He's out there earning a living to put the bread on the table and to have her have all the toys and the trinkets that she mentions in verses 16 to 17. Okay? But in verses 1 to 5, Solomon lays down the tapestry before he begins. Before he paints this picture, he says, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, is he talking literally in verses 3 and getting a Sharpie and writing scripture all over your fingers? Or having a doctor take a Sharpie and engraving the Word of God on the on that organ that's pumping inside your chest? No, he's talking figuratively here. You can't take this literally, as some would do to their own peril and to their own shame. This is a figure of speech. He's telling his children to take the Word of God, okay, and bind it into their heart, their mind, and their thinking. Whenever they're thinking out there in the world, when they come across such a woman, okay, when they come across such a woman, this woman dressed in the attire of a harlot, such a woman that doesn't honor her marriage vows, thus a woman that takes advantage of her husband being absent from the home while he's out there earning the bread, earning the paycheck. Beware of such a woman, okay? But bind that. Let the word of God become part of your spiritual DNA, part of the spiritual blood that flows through your veins in a figure, in a manner of speech. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee, notice, from the strange woman, from the stranger, and notice one of her techniques, flattered with her lips. Look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him, notice, to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she what? Forced him. And so Solomon, as he's talking to his son, verse 1 of Proverbs 7, and this could be a Christian mom, a Christian dad, or a Christian grandparent, okay, trying to educate and to nurture a Christian young person, all right, who's about to face the world. That individual who's teaching is making an appeal. Son, my daughter, give me your mind, give me your heart, give me your undivided attention. Just like a pastor expects those in the congregation to be giving him their mind and their hearts, to be trained, to be matured, to be edified, to be admonished, to be warned. If that's not your cup of tea, why do we have church? Stay home, go fishing, go camping, climb a mountain. But if you're serious about church and what the church is for, then we will give ourselves to her so that she in turn may bless us. That's what church is all about. And then in verses 6 all the way through, he begins to describe this woman. Notice in verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Notice, her feet don't even, her feet are not willing to abide in the home that the good man has provided for her. She's more content to be out there in the dark. Out there in the dark. Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now there may be some harlots who are awfully bold, who will make their propositions in the light of day in some busy street corner. You might still find that in some big metropolitan cities, but by and large, the women of the night have gotten that name because they do their bidding at night. Women of the night. But that verse 21, yielding and then forcing him. And then verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till the dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastening to the snare or to a net, and know it not that it is for his life. By the time the person who has been succored by this individual, by the time she bleeds and dries up and sucks the life out of him and gets all that he has materialistically speaking, as well as ruining probably his marriage, his home, his family, he's left that way. He doesn't know that he's lost everything, even his life, even his life. And then verses 24 and following, we have like almost a postscript, verses 1 to 5. He introduces the subject by simply banging on the head of his son. Listen to my instructions. Don't abandon my law. Let them bind them around your heart and mind. Then he describes this nasty woman. And then he ends it how? Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. So now it's much broader, not just only to his son, but as many children that Solomon may have had at this time. He throws out this net. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her, decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she had cast down many, notice, wound is. Wound is. Yea, many strong men. And notice the word strong is not in italics. Many strong have been what? Slain by her. Think of Samson. Think of Samson. Even Solomon, his many wives stole his heart, right? And he went off into idolatry to make them happy. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Well, this lifestyle may be very attractive for many young women today, especially if they need money. It's very lucrative. Yes, the money flows. But in the end, there's death and hell in the chambers of death. Well, may God use this to warn both young and old. In his name we pray. Amen.